podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
G'day Toby, how has the week been?
Yeah, busy. Always busy. Too busy.
Not a lot of rugby on the TV unless you're into the English Premiership.
Which I'm not.
So which you're not. I'm gonna get into it. This year, I'm gonna watch the highlights of the big games. I'm gonna pick a team. My team's gonna be the Harlequins.
Good.
And I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna support them.
Why the Harlequins?
I think they play an attractive style of rugby, and they've got some characters, and they kind of remind me of kind of a barbarian style-y, you know.
Oh,
they don't. They're not boring. They're not like a Steve Borthwick Leicester, or even like an Exeter can be a bit boring. Yeah, you've got to give it to Exeter. I rate them. I think they're great, but they can be a little bit, you know, put the ball up your jumper and, you know, in you go. And I just think they play nice. They've got Marcus Smith at 10. They've got Danny Kerr at 9. They've got a couple of decent centers and some good wings. So play a nice game.
Yeah.
Mate, we're off to the races with our messages. Yeah. So do you want to go and do Larry's message?
I need to zoom in on it. God, my eyes are playing. Ah, hola, oh my gosh. Let's play the game. The God, the Bad, and the Ugly. I think it's supposed to say. Oh, no, the God, the Bad, and the Ugly. Yeah, it's good. All-time players in history. Okay. So we've got John Olomou, Buckis Botta, and Owen Farrell. So his choices are the God is Lomu, the Bad is Botha, and the Ugly is Owen Farrell.
Well, I can't really argue with any of those, to be honest.
I am going to, because that's who I am. So obviously Lomu is the God. Okay.
Yes.
But then the Bad is Owen Farrell because he's just bad. And then Botha is just an ugly player, wasn't he? He just got stuck in.
Well, I think literally he's gone the other way and he said that the Bad is in, you know, he's
like
just
a
nasty.
Boy.
Yeah, like a bad boy. And the Ugly is Owen Farrell's ugly. I would say Owen Farrell is ugly but effective.
Effective? So you like him now?
You know, like, no, I don't like him. But, you know, he does get the ball over the posts. He is a very good kicker.
Yes.
And, you know, England aren't horrific
under
his kind of leadership. So,
Okay, right. He also goes on to say, changing subjects, let me tell you what caught my eye. Okay. I've just seen the list of the top 100 best players in the world. So DuPont is number one. Do you agree?
No.
He's also gone on to say needs to be a SAFR.
I don't think it needs to be a SAFR.
No, I agree.
I think Artie Sevilla was a good option.
Yes, but he is number three. Number two is Etzebeth.
I'm saying he's too low. I wouldn't mind if Etzebeth was rated number one in the world. I could take that because I think he has been exceptional over the last, I'd say last three seasons.
Yeah, agree.
He has been unbelievable. Before that, we all thought he was a donkey. We thought I thought he was more style over substance. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I thought he's a big unit that looked the part.
Like another Buckis Botha, kind of like just a thug. But he's got a bit more finesse about him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. So, anyway, just to go back to that, I've gone my the God, being Christian Cullen. I've gone the bad, being Richard Lowe, who was the nastiest piece of work you'd ever meet. In fact, I've heard a story about Richard Lowe, who he ate a bird in a pub because he was dared to eat this bird, and he ate it in front of people.
Wow, that's impressive. Hey,
yeah, like a live bird.
You've got to take your hat off to that.
No, you don't.
That's incredible.
And then we got Brody Retallick as the ugly, just because he is truly...
He is truly an ugly human being.
He is definitely special in that way.
Yeah, the guzzler.
So do you want to go through? So we've got Dupont at number one, Elizabeth at two, Artie Spear at three, Will Jordan at 20.
Yeah.
And then Richie Mwanga at 29.
No, at 39.
Oh, sorry, at 39. Yeah, that's... Well, okay, so let's just break this down. Apart from the last game, Will Jordan was very good in the World Cup.
Correct.
Mwanga, good World Cup, bad World Cup, in the middle World Cup. Where do you rate it?
In the middle World Cup. I think he was better than in the middle, actually. I don't think he was amazing, but I do think that he deserves better than just like a run-of-the-mill number 10.
Okay, yeah, he has been rated in the World Cup. He has been rated the best fly half in the World Cup.
I agree with that.
You know.
But the best player, no.
No.
Best number 10, yes.
That is an interesting question, though, isn't it? Because that does come into it. The best 10 doesn't necessarily mean you're anywhere near the best player.
Well, you know, case in point with the best, you know, the nominations for the best player in the world.
Absolutely, yeah. You know. Absolutely. Okay. Now, I think the complete list, I did have a little look at the complete list. I can run through it with you now. Just give me a second if it's still there. So Will Jordan's at 20. 19 is Stephen Kitsoff. You know, I think he could have been higher. Malcolm Marks at 18. I think Malcolm Marks could have been much higher than that.
Wow.
Samu Karevi at 17. Okay. Thomas Ramos, fullback for France at 16.
I think he could have been higher than that.
Yeah, and then we go Johnny Sexton at 14. 13 is Julian Marchant for France. James Ryan, Dan Sheehan, Hugo Keenan. Now, to be fair, Hugo Keenan is like the fullback for Ireland. And up until the World Cup, I thought he was pretty average. But actually, in the World Cup, he was bloody good. Bloody good. But 10, I think that's a bit high. Damien Penaud at 9. Jonathan Dancy at 8. Tyde Byrne, Ireland at 7. Will Skelton, I think that's very high for Will Skelton at 6.
Really?
Caelan Doris at 5. Gregory Aldrich, 4. Artie Sevilla, 3. Elizabeth and Dupont. I think some of those have been done.
Far too high.
Far too high, and then some of the ones lower. But, you know, it is what it is, eh? People getting paid a lot of money to do that, mate.
But also, it depends on who's picking it. You know, that's their point of view.
Yeah, well, I wonder everyone's where in the world they come from.
Everyone's got their own.
Mate, it's time for breaking news.
You're proudly supported by your Patreon members.
So thank you very much for that.
Yes,
thank you very much.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
You go first,
mate.
I'll
go first, eh? I'll go first. Dupont is going to miss the Six Nations.
Wow. Is that not with the cheekbone?
He is going to compete in the Summer Olympics with the French seven-a-side team.
I like that.
Yeah, really good, eh?
I like that. I like that.
And he is, I wonder if Artie Sevilla will do that, might do. But I don't think he's the only one. He It said, I'm trying to find it now. But he is the main one anyway to shift over to the seven-a-side game for the Olympics.
I think we've spoken about it before. What would you rather, you know, an Olympic gold medal or a Rugby World Cup?
Yeah. Oh. I think Rugby World Cup would be more prestigious, but an Olympic gold medal, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Around the world, Olympic gold medal is more prestigious, isn't it? But in the rugby world, the Rugby World Cup is more.
Yeah.
But very, very interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, I like the good old days where the top 15-a-side players played in the sevens.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that swap over. There is an argument to say that they're two different games now, but I don't really prescribe to that. I think a Richie Mwanga, oh my God, he'd be good for the sevens.
Do you reckon?
Oh, unbelievably good for the sevens, yeah. Those little dancing feet
okay,
of his.
Okay, like, so for New Zealand, who would you pick out of the All Blacks? Who would be your sevens team out of the All Blacks?
Oh, so purely out of the All Blacks.
Yep.
You're definitely going to go Rico. You're going to go Mark Talia. You're going to go Lester Fainuku. You'd go Geordie.
Yeah, but you need forwards,
you'd definitely
you
go.
Know, there are, it's not just a backs
mate,
game.
You don't need forwards.
Honestly, you
do. You
don't
need forwards, do you? Artie Sevilla. Let's do the forwards first. Let's get them out the way, all right? I'd probably go Artie Sevilla, definitely, 100%. Maybe a Dalton Papali'i because he's got a big engine and decent skill. Then I'm going to go Scott Barrett.
Scott Barrett's too big, too slow. I reckon you could go Geordie Barrett in the forwards.
Wash your mouth out with you could go Geordie Barrett in the forwards. You could go Geordie Barrett in the forwards, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And then you got Damien McKenzie at scrum half, right? Or Richie Mwanga at scrum half, right?
Yeah.
You got, so that's sorted. Damien McKenzie, Richie Mwanga. You got Rico, Mark Talia, and bloody Rico.
Yeah.
Will Jordan. We'll get Will Jordan in there as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah. He could be a sub, you know.
Wow. That is a hell of a team there. Hell of a team. What I would like is, I would like them to play New Zealand's sevens team.
Yeah.
I wonder how they do with a little bit of training.
Yeah, wow.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, you know, because if the French side did the same thing, they'd be pretty exciting too at sevens.
Oh, they would be. But then like South Africa.
Because like,
you know, Mpimpi.
Damien Penaud. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, like, you're right.
Cheslin Kolbe.
South Africa would be Cheslin Kolbe, yeah. And,
you know,
the Caelan Moody. Oh, the new young kid. Jeez, Louise. He'd be good. So they'd be handy as well, wouldn't
England?
They?
England? I have Andy Farrell. Owen Farrell, sorry. You know, he'd be there. Oh, it'd be great.
I would have Owen Farrell. Yeah, that'd be a great team. Easy to beat.
Correct.
Easy to beat. Lambs to the slaughter.
Lambs to the slaughter. Hey, line them up. Line them up.
I'd have like, who would I have? I'd have all the props, you know, Genji in there.
Oh, Sinclair, he's quick.
Genji in there. Marla. Do you know what I mean? Marla. Get Marla in there. Got great hands, Marla. He'd be my scrum half. Hey.
Jamie George, he'd be my winger.
Jamie George, he'd be the winger. Yeah, and actually, he'd be too good. He'd actually do a half decent job, Jamie Joyce. Jamie Joyce. That's who he used to work Juicy. With, Jamie Joyce.
Hey, have you seen my uploading speed?
Mate, you are flying tonight, aren't you?
I don't know why.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Well, you've obviously plugged the right cable in today. Right. Right, mate. Breaking news of my first one is...
Yeah, you take your time.
I've just mentioned two. So I've gone Joe Simmons and Henry Arundel. And the reason why I've picked them out, because both of these players are young, English qualified players, both playing in France. They're playing in France because for Joe Simmons, Exeter could not afford to keep him anymore. Yeah, they had to offload him. So he's gone over France. And Henry Arundel played for one of the clubs that went bankrupt, basically.
Right. Okay.
And he had to find a new club, and you know no one could pay him enough, so he had to go to France. And my point being, I think if we want to be really honest, the English Premiership is in a worse situation than Super Rugby, and they're in the worst situation because if you're a New Zealander and you want to go overseas and play in France, that's one thing, right? If you want to do it, if you want to take your whole family, if you want to, you know, go and have to speak in a different language, all of those things, it's quite a big ask. It's a big, big difference. But if you're English and you can get paid significantly more money, and it's an hour's flight away from home, and potentially, you know, you could come and go, you know, almost fly over, you know, stay two nights a week in England, or, you know, you come back. It's easier is what I'm trying to say. And they're going to pay you significantly more. It's a no-brainer. Hmm. And I just think that England are going to have to change their selection policy very, very quickly, and they're going to have to be able to choose these players playing in France.
Yes, but then if that happens, all of the English players are going to flood over to France, and then it's going to be.
But I think they already are now.
You know, I think they're caught between a rock and a hard place because they can't win. Because, like you say, all the youngsters want to earn some coin, and like you say, France is just a flight away. You know, it's not like it's in New Zealand or anything like that. They can. Still have it's easy to relocate, still in the EU, or you know, still in Europe, I should say, but still very close to England, and they're getting paid a ridiculous amount more. But then,
you know,
if they change their policies, you know, their selection policies, everyone's going to go over because they're getting paid loads more, but then they can still play for England.
What happens, though, if they don't change their selection policy?
Then they miss out on a lot of talent.
You know, so as you say, rock and a hard place, but I just can't see it ending well for them.
Oh, well, we'll find out, won't we? I don't mind.
Good news for us.
Sit back and relax. Right, my
all right,
next
mate,
one.
Your next story.
Yeah. The headline is... The scary, scary thing Stuart Hogg has noticed about Finn Russell. Okay, so Finn Russell is 31, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
And Stuart Hogg is alluding to the fact that he's become a father now. He is adapting to a professional rugby career and family life. And Stuart Hogg has noticed that he has become a more mature person and player. He thinks that he has seen a more exciting player in the last, you know, few months to a year. And he thinks that it's going to be quite scary for opposition to deal with. What do you think?
Yeah, like more consistent, isn't he? You know, like... He's not having highs and lows. He's having, you know, well, mostly highs, really.
Yeah.
Playing a, yeah, he's a very gifted, he always has been a very gifted player, but that came with, at times, moments of madness.
Yes.
The moments of madness have somewhat gone.
Yes. And, you know, does, you know, I think the hard thing for him is that he's playing for Scotland. You know, they like themselves. They go through some peaks and troughs. You know, they can beat anyone in the world, but more often than not, they don't. You know, that team is very inconsistent, a bit like he was, but maybe he's going to steady that ship by himself being more consistent and then Scotland building around him. You know, I think if Scotland become better, it makes for a more interesting, especially Six Nations anyway, but for world rugby.
I'm not 100% up to date with Scotland's squad, but my gut feeling is they're a little bit like,
I think they are getting, sorry, carry on.
No, just I don't hear a lot of them retiring after the World Cup, so I think they're in quite a good place moving forward. And I think, you know, when you really look at it, New Zealand are in quite a good place moving forward. South Africa are in quite a good place moving forward. France are pretty young as well. But then you've got, like, Wales have had obviously a massive turnaround, and still a lot of those players that they relied on for this World Cup are retiring or will not be there. England will not be in a good place. You know, they're going to have to reinvent the wheel again, you know. So some of these teams are in better spots. And I kind of feel like Scotland is one of those. They've managed to keep hold of Gregor Townsend, a very good coach.
Yeah, he's done wonders managed to for keep them, hold of
key players. So I think Scotland might go from strength to strength, you hope.
But also I think with Scotland is their policies, you know, their selection policies means that their better players can play in a better competition, you know.
They can go to France. They can go to England. They can play in these other competitions, absolutely.
Which I think is beneficial to them.
Yeah, I mean, the Six Nations countries, I think if they play in Europe, they're not really that badly affected because they still get together, you know, that like the international side, when there's the Six Nations, they are together for quite a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's not like Fiji and Scotland, Fiji and Samoa, where they don't play very many games in a season, so therefore they're always without their best players.
Yes.
You know, Scotland, when they have an international, have access to their players.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think England are just going to have to change their tack. Definitely for me anyway. Else they're really going to struggle.
Yes.
Right. Is Razzy Erasmus the bloke who can go for a three-peat? He's now head coach, so he's gone from director of rugby and he's now back to being head coach. He definitely has access to the talent. He has access to the support network of the you know, South African Rugby Board, and he's got a lot of goodwill. He can lose games and they still believe in him and the fan base believe in him. And he is crazy enough to keep reinventing the way that they play. Do you think that Razzy can be the one to get the three-peat?
Potentially. I think so, but I don't want it to happen.
Because that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? You know, like players have been in positions to get three.
Yeah.
But not a head coach, not a director of rugby.
No, I wonder who the longest standing head coach is.
Currently, I reckon it's him.
Yeah,
It could be Gregor. I mean, arguably he wasn't head coach, was he? Arguably he wasn't head coach, but he was.
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
You know, he really was. Well, you know, there's that moment in the game, where like the shit's hitting the fan and all of the assistant coaches are around Razzy asking what to do. They weren't around Jack Nabler.
No.
Were they?
No.
He was on his own.
He was. He was picking his nose.
So, I mean, you know, he's in a very, very good spot to be able to do it. Young squad as well.
Yeah, he's definitely got young squad for it. But 4 years, long time.
4 years is definitely a long time, eh? 4 years. Mate, what caught your eye?
Super Rugby teams. I saw that they came out. I didn't take much notice of them because, you know, I'm a bit of a journeyman with my teams. I'll decide halfway through and see who's good.
Yeah. I've had a quick brush over the Aussie squads.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, there's not a lot. You know, there's when we talk about big names that we, you know, you hang a hat on, they are very, very, you know, very weak, I would say, all of the squads. And going back to one of the things that, you know, Eddie Jones wanted to cull a couple of squads, as I look at these squads, that's exactly what I'm thinking, you know.
Who would you get rid of?
The big... Well, I mean, it's like you'd get rid of the Force and the Rebels, but
yeah, but then I'm not the saying Force, you know.
Yeah, the Force are perfectly positioned
base out there.
That's right, but you know, you would, wouldn't you? If you had to cull two, you're not going to cull the Brumbies, the Waratahs, or the Reds because they are the original kind of
yeah.
You know, and it's been the Rebels and the Western Force that have been introduced. I just look at it and I'm like, oh, I can't see these lads fighting for like the title. You know, maybe the Brumbies, maybe, but even their squad isn't. No,
the Brumbies don't play that sort of game to be able to win it now, I don't think. You know, they do play a game to be able to win it. But I don't think they've got the firepower and the personnel to be able to win it.
And the other thing to remember about the Brumbies is that their coach is probably going to be the Oz coach. You know, right. Eddie Jones has gone. Stephen Larkham is currently coaching the ACT Brumbies. And I would imagine he's going to be the one that stands into that seat along with the coach, Dan McKellar, I think, who was the Brumbies coach before that. So they've got a lot of IP leaving.
He was
actually
pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very good. Very good. Yeah. And I think he's quite a good test match coach as well. You know, has the way that the ACT Brumbies played was very test match like.
Yes.
So, but yeah. I mean, shall we have a little look at the New Zealand squads?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, again, like, there's not like these huge names and even people who you'd arguably say, you know, I can't believe Harry Plum is still plying his trade at a Super Rugby level.
Or like, you know, I look through the Blues squad and I look, Finlay Christie, he's an All Black, but yeah, I'm not bothered.
No.
You know, maybe Caleb Clark, yeah, good player. Rico Ioane, yes, okay. I'd like to see a bit more from Hoskins Satutu.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd like to see a bit of sort of Stephen Perifetta as well. He was
It's
going to
be interesting, isn't it? Where would you play Stephen Perifetta? Where would you play him? You going to play him at 10 this year?
Well, you can, can't you? Because who have you got? Oh, Harry Dummer. Yeah, real good.
I mean, they're going to play Harry Plummer at 12, mate. That's what they'll play him. They'll play Harry Plummer at 12, and they'll play Rico Ioane at 13. And Bryce Heem, I like Bryce Heem. I'd play Bryce at 12, and Rico at 13, and Harry Plummer might hold some oranges on the sideline.
Great.
If he's lucky.
Run the waters.
Yeah, mate. You're good at that, Cankles.
Yeah. That's right. God. And then the Chiefs, who sort of jumps
they
out
look
at
good.
You there?
Wow, quite
Anton
a few, Leonard
Brown,
really.
It doesn't really do it for me, you know. Maybe Josh Lord, he might come into his own.
Josh Lord. You've got got is Damian McKenzie.
Yeah.
They've got Damian McKenzie. They've got Xavier Rhodes, a good player. They've got Tokiaho.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a player. They are a little bit weak, I think, on the bench.
But weak in the midfield, aren't they?
Like Josh Ioane, you know, he's a bloody good bench player to be coming off the bench at 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty good. Quinn Tapia, good player.
Prophet.
He's coming back from injury, isn't he?
Jared Prophet.
Who's Jared Prophet?
He went to Gisborne Boys High School. He's a year below me, I think.
Oh, is he?
If it's the Jared Prophet that I think it is. Yeah, like you say, Quinton Tapia, he's coming back from injury.
Now, come on, be completely and utterly like not your normal self and give me your honest opinion on the Crusaders squad.
Ah, fucking dreadful.
Mate, they've got Ryan Crotty back.
Oh, for God's sake. The Crotster. Why?
Willie Hines, though. Willie Hines, a great acquisition for that. Dave Harvilli.
Willie Hines.
Lee Halfpenny. Leave Halfpenny's in there, mate. Where's he going to play? Not going to play on the fullback, is he? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Fletcher Newell. What do you think of him?
Oh, good player. Good player. That they're going to be where the Crusaders will still be good is in that front row, but also in their forward pack.
Yep.
It's just whether or not Fergus Burke at 10 can give 10? Enough. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we need to get some youth in there, don't we?
But the thing is, like having people going on sabbatical and things like that, it does open the door for younger people to have a look. But there's nothing there, is there?
No, well, not that we have
not
seen
that I can
yet.
See. You know, I don't know names and things like that, but we will find out.
Mm.
Wow.
And then like the Highlanders squad. I mean,
yeah, there's some long names in that that right hand column, aren't there?
There is some long names.
Gee whiz.
Do you want to read those boys?
Nope.
Out? They look like they come from
Jacob
Dunedin, don't they?
Yeah. Right, Jacob. Okay, let's look at some then. No one. Who's there? Ethan de Groot.
Ethan de Groot, good player.
Putty
you know,
Parkinson.
You were saying Sam Gilbert, mate. Sam Gilbert, class.
Hey,
I mean, you really are struggling. Billy Harmon's good player.
Yeah, he is a good player.
You'd say then you are sort of struggling really for top quality. Thomas Umanga Jensen, by the looks of it, is out for the season.
Right.
Paddy Parkinson, good player. You know, you're a big fan of his, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's our mate, though?
Who's our mate?
Our mate for the Highlanders. Ponytail.
Oh, no, he's gone overseas, mate.
Overseas?
He's gone to Italy. He's gone to Italy.
Oh,
that's all.
Right.
That's the best
yeah, that's
he could
all
do.
Take him.
Yeah. Was that not Gilbert? That was, we can't even remember his name. That's our.
No. Mustn't have been that good of a mate.
Jeez. I can't remember his name. Yeah, I know exactly who you. Not Gregory. God, is it Gregory?
Yeah. Gregory. Someone Gregory.
Is it Scott Gregory?
Scott Gregory. You
Scott
got
Gregory.
It.
Yeah, he got snapped up by an Italian team.
Oh, beautiful.
Demotion. And then we've got the Hurricanes, who, to be fair, probably do have the best squad of players when it comes to you've got Jordy Barrett, You've got
TJ Perenara's in there. He'll do a good job.
TJ Perenara, you've got Billy Proctor, you've got
Tyrell Lomax, you know, he's a good Duplessis Karivi, yeah, we like
Brad
him.
Shields. Peter Umanagensen as well. Brad Shields is back, which he was a hell of a player before he left to go overseas. Cam Roygaard.
Yeah.
Good player. And I thought they were building quite nicely last year. So Devin Flanders, he is a beast. The lad just is a beast. He plays loose forward.
Yeah.
Or I think he can play a bit of second row, but he's just a handful.
Yeah, Hurricanes are looking all right.
Yeah, and Braden Yose, remember Braden Yose? He was a late sort of All Black. Didn't quite make the squad, but he is right there, you know. Deeplessu Karifi, hell of a player. He's a kind of an Artie Sevilla replacement.
Yeah.
So, and they, you know, they've got a good front row. Definitely. I don't know who they're. Oh, they've got Asafa Amor at two as well.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Good hooker. Good props.
Yeah.
Good team. And having TJ back, very experienced.
Yeah.
Very, very experienced, mate.
Yes. He'll do a job.
Now, I've got a question for you. Got a question for you. Remember the old start, bench, and scrap questions?
Yep.
Who would you start, bench, and scrap out of Kieran Reid, Artie Sevilla, and Jerry Collins?
In their prime?
In their prime.
Okay. I would... Oh, gosh. I would start Jerry Collins because he would just batter teams to begin with. You know, I'd put him on for maybe 35, 40 minutes. No, I'd put him on for 42 and a half minutes, give Artie Sevilla a bit of time to warm up over half time.
Oh, you're going to go bench?
I would bench Artie Sevilla, get rid of Kieran Reid.
Do you know what, though? Kieran Reid in his prime was unbelievable.
He was good, but you think about Jerry.
And I think...
He'd cut people in half. He was like Jaws of Life, for a fireman. Bang. Open. See you later. Thanks for coming.
Jaws of Life for a fireman. I love it. I'm with you. I would start Jerry Collins just because you need an enforcer, don't you? You need an enforcer. He was the enforcer. Yeah. And I would bring off, Artie Sevilla. Remember when he first started playing for the All Blacks?
Yeah.
He was the best bench player in the world.
Oh, he was so
He
good.
Would come on and they just couldn't live with him. He's only really matured. He's only really matured as like a starter in the last sort of maybe 3 years.
Not even that, I don't know.
So, I hate to say it, mate, but I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to agree with you. Now, listen, we're going to finish off the show. This is what we were going to do last week.
Okay.
Okay? So, I've got some quiz questions for you.
So, I shouldn't scroll down?
Do not. You should not scroll down.
Okay. Fine.
Don't do it. Okay. So, these are all questions about the Rugby World Cup, okay? And now I've tried to pick ones that I think that you'll know. So you should get most of them, if not all of them, correct. So if you get one wrong, then shame on you.
Okay.
All right, so first up, New Zealander Michael Leach captained which country in the 2019 World Cup?
Japan.
Correct. Which country caused the first... Oh, sorry. Sorry, 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 sorry. I need to get like the correct answer for you, and I almost forgot. Here we go.
Yes.
You're right.
It's good to hear that again.
Which country...
I missed it. Yeah.
Which country caused the first upset of the 2019 World Cup with a win over Fiji?
Portugal.
Uruguay. So you're wrong.
What? Hang on. This World Cup?
2019.
Oh, 2019. Read the question. I wouldn't have got that anyway.
Read. I wouldn't have got it.
I wouldn't have got
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't have got it. I'm surprised. Okay, next one. Name the only player to play every... Oh, no, this is pretty tough for you. Actually, some of these are going to be tough. I take back my first comment. Name the only player to play every minute of all England's tournament matches when they won 2003. So I'll give you some choices. Okay. You got Lawrence Dallaglio. You've got Johnny Wilkinson. You've got Jason Robinson. Who are you going to go for? Final answer?
Yeah. Oh, correct. Yes. 33% chance. Yeah, play. Good guess.
When I read that, I thought Johnny Wilkinson for a start. But then, yeah, it's Jason Robinson. Jason Robinson. Which country could not qualify or be invited to the 1987 and 1991
South Africa
World Cups? Correct. Well done. Okay. Before the start of the 2019 tournament, New Zealand had played 50 World Cup matches. How many of these had they lost? Before the start of the 2019 tournament, New Zealand had played 50 World Cup tournament matches. How many of these had they lost?
Okay. They lost... they lost one in 91 because they didn't make the final. They lost one in 95. Now, is this pool matches or is this games?
No, it's, well, let's be honest. It's games. It's games.
Okay. So
pool matches. Not just pool matches.
So not just pool matches. Fine. So 91, 95, 99, 2003. 2007, five.
It was six. They lost six matches. Yeah, I think you did pretty well. I think you just might have just miscount. So they didn't win in 91.
Yep. Yeah.
They didn't win 95.
Yep.
They didn't win in 99. They didn't win in 03. They didn't win in 07.
Correct.
They didn't win. They didn't win in...
That's it. Because they have never lost a pool match until this...
Until this World Cup. And maybe they, you're right.
They won 2011 and they won 2015.
Yeah, you're right, mate. This is wrong. You are right. Here we go.
Thank you.
You're right, mate. Well done. You know more than the bloody quiz itself.
Who's done the quiz?
Who scored some internet site? Who scored England's only try in the final of their World Cup victory match?
In 2003?
Who scored 2003?
Not a clue. Not a clue. Jason Robinson.
Oh, you correct?
Yes.
Remember he scored and he punched the ball into the crowd?
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, which country won the 1991 World Cup?
Australia.
Correct. What is the name of the trophy awarded to the World Cup winner? So what is the name?
William Webb Ellis.
Of the trophy? William Webb Ellis.
Cup.
Plate?
No.
Cup?
It's a cup.
You sure?
Yes, it's a cup.
Correct. Well done, mate.
Why are you trying to trick me up?
Well, that's my job.
This is true.
My job, mate, isn't it, eh? I'm not going to make it easy for you. Mate, it's the end of the show. So, as always, it's a pleasure doing it with you. But what can people do to support us?
They can like, share, subscribe. 5-star review, email, message. I know that there's not.
We were
much
a little bit
rugby.
Short on emails this week, mate.
Yeah,
we were a little bit short on emails.
Rugby. I think next week, what we can do, Damo, is we can come up with a few questions or quizzes, maybe for our listeners, so they have to email them. Ha.
That's a great idea, mate.
And then we can go through the answers the week after.
Sounds good to me, mate. Sounds good to me. Hey, listen, as always, it's a pleasure doing the potty with you. Until next week.
See you later.
Podcast Network.